ultimately, it's up to you.
Hello, friends. Chris Jansen. This is the End Evil podcast. And evil is the destruction of freedom. And every week, I'm trying to bring to you some information, some things to think about, topics that affect all of us, and mostly on the subject of morality. Now, this week, I have a special episode. I've been hearing some from my good friend Agnieszka in Mexico about an unfolding event, and she's with me here today. I'm going to bring her in to kind of share what's happening. There's been a hurricane in Acapulco, and we have some freedom friends down there. And let me see. I'm trying to find the little button. Where are you, Agnieszka? Welcome, and thanks for joining me today. Let's see. How come I can't see you yet? Maximize. There you are. Okay. Yeah, so we got this whole event unfolding that it seems like a lot of aspects of this so-called hurricane are kind of strange in terms of this weather event coming all of a sudden, and but massively affecting people. And you've been right there in the area, and a lot of other folks you know are also down there. People have probably heard of Anarchapulco, and that's where Jeff Berwick's operation has been going on for many years. And he's been very active in creating this response team, Hurricane Otis Recovery. I'm going to track down the website for that in just a minute here. But Agnieszka, can you kind of tell me from your perspective what is happening?
So this has been a very, very strange event. So there is a number of things that are strange about this thing. And I cannot put two and two together. So I don't really know what to tell you. All I can say is what I know. So first of all, this is a hurricane that went from category 2 to category 5 in like 4 hours or something. I know they say it's 12 hours, but when we phoned our family at 7 p.m., because Jeff Berwick was warning people actively on all the chats, sending messages, and making sure that everybody heard what was happening in Acapulco, like before the hurricane, Tuesday night. So when I finished my class Tuesday night, we got on the calls with some of our family members, but of course, these are Acapulqueños, and they're like, yeah, we don't care. The hurricane is good. So then the hurricane, when it arrived at midnight. So at 7, it was a category 2, but rapidly, or maybe a category 3, rapidly growing, and then it was a category 5 by midnight, which is unheard of. The other unheard of thing about this hurricane is that it, instead of going up the coast towards Puerto Vallarta, it went inland towards Morelia. So that's a very strange thing, because most hurricanes, and I'm not a meteorologist, but I physically cannot remember, having lived in Acapulco for the last 3 years and having, you know, been aware of hurricanes along the coast, you know, hearing it on the news and stuff. I have not heard of a hurricane that would go up the mountains, right? Like here on this coast, you know, like straight up a sheer mountain. And it went through Tierra Caliente, or the big mountain chain that's between Acapulco, Guerrero, and yeah. And what Alexander is saying, that is absolutely true. Nobody's for. So what happened is my stepdaughter, my partner's daughter, lives in Acapulco with her grandparents and her stepfather and her mom. And when we called her the night before, they didn't take us seriously. They were just like, yeah, no problem. And then the very next morning, we were able to receive one text message from her. Now, this is strange, because she texted after the hurricane already ended. So that would suggest that the infrastructure was in place after the hurricane, because we got two text messages right after the hurricane in the middle of the night. One from my stepdaughter, my partner's daughter, and one from his mother. And then the communication died, right? But the hurricane didn't seem to break the communication if they could communicate right after, in the middle of the night. Anyway, at the beginning, we weren't too concerned, because this is Acapulco, and Acapulco does all sorts of things, and they're usually people are great, and, you know. But as the days went on day 3, we started really, really worrying, because there was no communication, there was no power. We didn't know In fact, we didn't know if our daughter's family was alive because all we were able to get is one text message that said, I am okay. It didn't I didn't know if her family was okay, or if she was, what situation she was in. I didn't know if there was water or if there was food. In the end, I joined Jeff Berwick's rescue team, Hurricane Otis recovery rescue team. And I was working with the rescuers, getting food to all of the Acapulqueños. I'm still working with them every day from morning till night, getting the word out to people, getting donations to Jeff's fundraiser. If you don't want to send donations to Jeff, there's other ways to help. But he has been just amazing. And it's his people. It's his people that found Dana, my stepdaughter. In the end, they found her. She did have water. They had ways to light a fire. They were able to boil water and drink water, but they didn't have any food left, apparently. And so this is a family of six, I think, or more, because Mexicans, they live in extended families. So there may be uncles involved that I'm not aware of, but yeah, that family was just in their little house. The house was not necessarily that damaged. They lost both the windows, but that's about it. So, or they lost two of their windows, I guess. I don't know if that's all.
I was able, Agnieszka, to find that link we were looking for. It's a GoFundMe page, GoFundMe.com.
That's one, but the other one.
Acapulco Rescue Recovery.
That's one, but the other one is HurricaneOtisRecovery.com.
Okay.
Let me see if I can share that with you.
So is Erwin, he's still on the mission to get the young girl and hasn't returned yet. You're still hoping for his return?
Yes. Right? So he is, well, he arrived. Hang on, let me just send you this link. I'm just going to send it to you here. In Acapulco a couple days ago, or maybe a day ago. We filled his truck. We got donations from a number of people, even some people who are listening to this podcast right now. We received donations from, sorry, lost my train of thought.
It's okay. We've got a lot going on this week, and last few days have probably been just nonstop, right?
So, okay. So what happened is it's when we didn't know what was happening with Dana, we sent the rescuers to her house. They weren't able to get to her house till Monday. So that means the whole weekend we were going crazy with worry. We didn't know what the situation was. But at the time, the waters in the Diamante area, which you have to drive through in order to get there, the waters were pretty high. There was a better way of getting in from the south than from the north. But by Monday, when we heard and saw that she was okay and alive and everything was good, we set out with a big truckload of supplies, not only to her house, but to Erwin's mother's house and that neighborhood, which is more inland. The problem with Acapulco is like the people who are close to the ocean or close to the lagoon, they were probably better off because they still have access to like washing and things like that. But people, there's so many poor people that live up the hill and inland who were completely cut off from everything, no stores, no nothing. Those are the people that swarm trucks as their trucks with supplies come into the city, you know.
So is there water running, public water?
There hasn't been any.
No water, no power. And it kind of makes you wonder what the sanitation lines are like. Does that get wrecked too?
There is no sanitation. There's no sanitation. People. And then also there are reports, like personal reports from people I know that I physically spoke to, that there are bodies washing up on the shore, but the police are picking up the human bodies as fast as they can find them. Now, there's also a possibility that there are human bodies inside the wreckages of some of the buildings, but we don't know because right now the most important thing is to get water and food to the people who have survived. There's also cats and dogs. Like the Mercado was filled with cats,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So we don't know. Like, so the whole sewage situation there is pretty dire, I would say.
Yeah, we had what we have up here in California have been crazy wildfires for the last many years. And when I went through that, people were communicating on social media, like finding other people's horses and goats and, you know, just all these animals are just wandering around after a disaster like this. And so there's a lot to be figured out. And man, it must be hectic. But so within your community of people, you know, so far everybody's alive and accounted for, right?
Yeah, I believe I heard from the last guy that is okay. I have to tell you this story. This is Mexico in a nutshell. One of our rescuers, he has actually, Paul the Agorist. He has his own channel, I think, and he does a lot of good work for the freedom community. He was driving a truck into Acapulco with supplies, and he broke down. And I think don't be mad at me if this is not totally correct, because I didn't talk to Paul physically myself yet. But I think he broke the axle on his truck. So it's like a major part. And so he was stuck in a village, and he had a van full of supplies trying to get into Acapulco. So his co-pilot took some of the supplies, hitched a ride in another truck from somebody was driving by. She got a bunch of the food and got it into the Bonfield community. But he wasn't able to. And yesterday, his girlfriend contacted me and said that she didn't know where he was. So we started a search. When we found him this morning, he was still at the mechanics. And I think he'd been staying there, like at the mechanic's house for the last few days while waiting for the part.
Oh.
Because this is Mexico, right? If you're broken down, they're not going to throw you on the street, you know? Or maybe he was rented a room somewhere nearby. Like the community where he broke down took care of him completely.
And that is awesome. Right?
Like, well, there is
one thing I've got from you, and also from talking to Mike and things I've heard Jeff Berwick say, is that it seems that just in general, Mexicans in the Acapulco area are kind of like, they don't really rely on government. There's not a lot of expectation of government to come in and help now, I would imagine. Or are they?
The government came and helped, but I mean, I'm not like our group is not downtown. We're taking care of the neighborhoods, the Jeff Berwick team, and my partner is also working with them. We're taking care of the communities of Bonfield, La Cima, between Bonfield and La Cima, Bonfield, La Isla, Diamante, and La Cima. And a lot of our aid goes up the hill because that's where the poor people live, which are other communities. I don't know the names of them. I know that like at least a part of the truckload went to Erwin's mother's neighborhood, who were very, very isolated and very, very suffering, you know, deeply. What else I was going to say? Yeah, so our efforts are concentrated in those four areas. So the government had come into downtown, but I read in one post that they gave out 7,000 water bottles on a specific day, except for a human needs to drink more than one bottle of water a day, and there are hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
So even if they're giving out 7,000 water bottles a day, every day, that still doesn't even
drop in the bucket. That would barely take care of the children, if that.
Exactly. So now, as of today, people are washing children in dirty water, and there's a lot of infections. There's a lot of problems with receiving medicine. One truck went and got a whole bunch of metformin, which is a diabetes medicine, and distributed it to people because there's no pharmacies, there's no grocery stores, there is nothing open, there's no mercado. There may be some street vendors like opportunists coming. The closest community outside of Acapulco going towards Mexico City is Chilpancingo. And Chilpancingo is having their own issues with supplying food because everybody's going to Chilpancingo and getting the food for Acapulco. Walmart says that they're going to open in 2 weeks, but they haven't gotten the handle on power or sewer yet. Mm. The other store, Chedraui, they're talking about having like places where they sell food that are like, you know, pop-up places or something. I saw something about that today. But it's been a very dire situation, but people are completely coming together. And so, the babies. So now the government today announced that they're coming in with a bunch of trucks with water because there's babies that have been washed. Sorry if you can hear my background. There's a train passing by.
Yeah. Train's still working. We got that going.
Well, we're nowhere near Acapulco. I'm physically nowhere near in Acapulco.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the mountains. I actually left back in May because I had a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. So you're able to do now organizing using your phone and all because of the fact you're not right down there in the heat of it.
Yeah, so when the disaster first started, there was one lady who was in Norway, one lady who was actually on vacation in Tokyo, another lady in the States, myself in the mountains of Mexico, and probably a bunch of other people. There's, you know, oh, there's a lady in Puebla as well. There's another gentleman. I think that he's also located in Puebla, Mexico. And so all of these people were collaborating and coordinating these 10 different truck drivers who are coming in from all these different areas towards Acapulco, delivering goods. And then, well, one truck driver was actually, if he leaves Cuernavaca in the morning, he spends the night in Cuernavaca. He leaves in the morning with supplies, comes into Acapulco, drops it off and goes back to Cuernavaca, which is 4 hours drive, by the way, for the night, sleeps at Cuernavaca, fills his truck again. That's what he's been doing for the last few days.
Wow.
So now the traffic is terrible. So delivering SOS packages, because, you know, some people, like if we hear of somebody who's got like a specific problem, like I need this medication or I need this thing or I need that thing. We do our best to get it there within, you know, 24 hours, which is probably not ideal for medication. But I mean, that's all you can do
in an emergency, right? With volunteer help and people that, like you said, are kind of like, well, probably not getting enough sleep and working around the clock, right?
And today we got the first money from the GoFundMe. So everybody who's been giving to GoFundMe all week, and I think we're up to, like in the, I saw something about 300,000 or something like that. I don't know. You can pull up.
Here, I'll bring up the page. I got it. HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. I saw something about 292,000 on the one.
I think that was a while ago.
On the GoFundMe.
Is that now? Go look at the.
Maybe I'll try refreshing
maybe
it.
Them put together.
And then the other one's got 6,000. So maybe with the combination of them, it looks like close to 300,000 has been raised, according to what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. And a lot of people are doing private donations or donating goods like themselves, like they're going with their own money to the store and stuff. And so has Jeff. Jeff's been doing that as well, because there are no... we didn't have money until now. Jeff Berwick also opened up his house. He's allowing all the tools and all the like prep stuff that he's had. He's using all of that, generators. His RV has a big hole in the side, but he's still saying that we're welcome to use it for whatever we need. It's been a crazy, crazy journey.
Yeah. What was the story he told? You said that there's like, basically holes in the wall of his house, but like the furniture wasn't all wet and damaged like you would expect in a hurricane. Just everything's blown against the wall.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that in his house, his daughter's at his house right now. So all the furniture was pushed against the back wall because the hurricane force, but it wasn't wet and it wasn't like there wasn't like water damage. So he was able to just, you know, put it back. But I think there's like parts of the front of his house that are like actually not quite there. And there's a big hole in the side of the RV. But that doesn't mean it's not usable, because the climate there is, you know, you don't actually need, like, as long as you have a roof, you're probably all right. You know what I mean? So.
And wasn't the roof what is missing now at that hotel where Anacapulco, did that get the roof torn off it?
So. I mean, that's the Jardín Secreto is what you're talking about. And they are not, it's not one building. It's several buildings like throughout. There are like little rooms. They have a couple different water spots where like a swimming little hall or pool or something. I don't remember. Something wet. And then they have little houses around where people can stay. And then they also have the main stage. The main stage is fine. There is roofs missing on a couple of the a few of the structures, but I'm not sure how extensive the damage is. Again, for me in the videos, it doesn't necessarily look that extensive, but some people are reporting that their roof is like, not only did it blow off, but it's gone, right? You can't put it back. Because, you know, sometimes, like, especially the way they build in the tropics, if the roof blows up, you can just pick it up and put it back on. Or pick it up in pieces and put them back on, right? This is, there is no roof in some places.
Yeah. Well, and, so, you know, that those are details, right? Who cares about buildings? What we care about is the people. And that's kind of seems like where you're really focusing on is how to get people the things they need and how to organize people that can help. So, you know, I mean, anybody who might be listening to this show, there are ways to help and get involved. They need what help? You still need help organizing things, right?
Well, so, yeah, last I checked, we were looking for some assistance from the Freedom community. If somebody wants like a full-time job managing some aspects of drivers, but I'm not sure if that's still up on, it's probably still open, but you can check in with the team. And there is, once the government comes in with the food or the stores come in with the food, you know what I mean? That's going to be just one level of solution. When people have food, they have medicine, they have water. Maybe the sewage will get turned on in another week or so. And so that's going to be that one layer. But then the second layer will be to replace everybody's windows, to replace everybody's roofs, right? People are already planning receiving shipments of glass from Mexico City and other places further in Mexico in order to replace nearly all the windows in Acapulco.
Wow. Yeah. Can you imagine glass, how much glass that would be?
The most poignant photo for that would be the Princess Hotel in Diamante, because all the glass went in the center of the hotel. So it's sitting there in this giant pile in the photo. You can see how big it
really?
Is next to the people.
What's that one called?
Diamante, the Princess Hotel in Diamante in Acapulco. There is a crazy photo where you can see from the top how there's like all this glass right in the center. Oh, and there's a small white car on top of this pile of glass just for decoration.
See if I can find that image. Huh.
But yeah, it's the hurricane went in. Okay, so there's some weird things while you're looking for the image. There's a couple weird things. The hurricane went up the hill and into the mountains and towards center of Mexico, towards the mountains of Morelia or near Morelia. Also, there was a big mining convention, and a lot of the prime ministers and governors of Mexico were present, but the governor of Guerrero cut a ribbon at 7 p.m. and left town.
And wait, before it happened?
Yeah, just before it happened, like 7 p.m. and
that's
it happened.
That's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The other sources told me that they were warned, but they didn't care. There's people that say that people were buying out stuff in the grocery stores the day before. But the day before, the news in the evening news did mention the hurricane, but they didn't mention that it was going to be a legendary hurricane. They just said a hurricane, and there's like a tropical storm just turned into a hurricane. So nobody takes it seriously because that happens a lot in that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have seen all the palapas and all the palm leaf roofs rip off the buildings different times. You know what I mean? Like just fly off the buildings during certain hurricanes and stuff. And people just pick them up and put them back on or put new ones on. There's a lot of palm leaves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Part of they have plenty the ocean, of palm right? leaves, but... But like, you know, once it blows out roofs or windows, then that's a whole different story.
Hmm.
Oh, and the interesting thing about the daughter, my stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. So she was, I thought that it would be really good to get her out of there because we don't know when services are. But apparently Jeff's team is doing a good job making people feel safe in that neighborhood because her mom said that it was super traumatic for her and she doesn't want to separate the family and she doesn't want the girls to go to a different part of Mexico at this time. And I get that. You know what I mean? Because our stepdaughter has a 4-year-old little sister, but I get that she wouldn't want to let them go. Right. So what we're doing is we're making sure that they're set for the next few weeks so that they don't have to worry about basics.
Right.
I mean, they have their own well, and they found a way to get the water out of the well without electricity, and so they're well placed in the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can imagine how many people just out there in the neighborhoods that aren't, right?
The neighborhoods of Diamante and downtown Acapulco are just terribly devastated. Wow. But again, most of the like. Basically, all of the fishermen probably perished, or most of the fishermen who didn't go home because a lot of the fishermen were sleeping under boats and stuff, and all the boats are on shore.
I was just kind of looking through the images on Google, what they had here.
You were looking for that Princess Hotel?
Yeah, I
Let me see
didn't
if I can
find
find
it,
it
but
for you.
you do see a lot of damage, that's for sure. So there, you know, there obviously there is reporting, you know, but I think it's just it seems like pretty minimal, right? Like each major news agency has put out like one article on it where, you know, if this type of thing were to go on in a different place at a different time, you'd see nothing but it for 2 weeks, right? I mean, it just seemed like it's not getting much coverage, that's for sure.
There's this amusing news item on it that has the image of the princess.
Oh, I see. You shared that with me. Okay. Let me switch up my share here.
So yeah. So what was the other weird thing? Oh, the other weird thing that happened yesterday, apparently 20 kilometers worth of drivers driving to, maybe the day before yesterday, driving towards Acapulco for 20 kilometers, all the drivers fell asleep in their cars. And our driver reported that he was stuck behind this big long lineup of cars, all stopped, all the drivers sleeping, and the police were going car to car waking people up. And I don't know what that was. That was strange, say the least.
Just a bunch of people just randomly fall apart asleep all at once in the same road.
On the middle of the highway,
Huh. How
with
could
all
that
the
be?
trucks stopped back to back. No accident, just everybody stopped.
Weird. Huh.
So.
Well, here's the picture you just shared with me. Is that the
That's
thing?
not the picture that was coming up for me
No.
when I loaded it. That's weird. Okay, but like type in Princess Acapulco Princess Hotel damage. That's what I typed in.
Acapulco image.
Oh, you know what? I can just send you the image. I don't know why for you a different image shows up than for me for the cover image for the story. Isn't that interesting?
Huh.
Why would that be?
Oh, here we go. I wonder if this is it.
Okay, let me see.
Hurricane Otis made landfall near.
That's not it, but I sent
Okay.
but that's, yeah, there's a lot of videos you can play on that. There's one guy I read, he was locked in his bathroom and most of his room disappeared while he was in the bathroom. And then he came and he looked, it looked like the room went to a blender, he said, with windows missing and stuff. Yeah, I sent you the actual picture of the Princess Hotel and all the glass for like a visual because it's insane how much
Oh, yeah.
glass there is.
Man.
So yeah, I think those are all the weird things I wanted to tell you guys. Well, and the whole Red Cross thing, that's very strange. So in the neighborhoods that we help, we saw a Red Cross truck once giving out boxes. And we took video. But that was on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. And you know, that's just kind of like ironically, because that's the kind of help that they provide, like Sunday afternoon help. You know, it's kind of symbolic.
I've had some strange experiences with Red Cross. Oh, here's the picture Agnieszka shared. With you can see all the broken glass in the center of this building, and yeah, like you said, a car, random
And
car.
like how small are
What?
people in comparison to the pile of glass?
Is that car blown in there, or someone drove it in there? Who knows? It probably looks
I
like
think it's blown in there. I don't think
blown.
I'm, I think I was like there was like chairs and like sitting
Right.
space.
I could see that too, like a real little car like that. Getting
A
blown in
lot
that
of cars
hell,
were
isn't
blown to all sorts of places. Okay, so check this out. When I was 10, there was a storm in Poland in the area I lived in. And I remember holding onto a lamppost, kind of blowing in the wind, like my feet lifting off the ground, right? And I remember distinctly that the speed of the wind was 140 kilometers an hour. In Acapulco, the wind was nearly 300 kilometers an hour.
Wow.
So
like a little kid could just be flying through the air at that type of speed.
Absolutely. What Crypto Rick is saying is very, I would say that's definitely likely. Because what normal natural hurricane will go into mountains, up the mountains? Well, it's category 5. Like, that's physically, like physics, like the physics of it don't really jive for me. Like, I'm no physicist.
That's what's so tricky with
but
these things.
Going into mountains as opposed to along the shore does not seem logical.
Right. Like, things start really adding up. Like the Maui fires, and same with the fires that we've experienced here in California. Anybody who's lived through them now has questions. Like, why did this happen? Why did this not happen? And then there's these odd things where it seems like, in some cases, like in Maui, where the locals, police, fire departments, governments were making strange decisions that didn't make sense. And it's just like there's all these indicators that we're living in this different world now where we're all under attack and we just never know when. It could be a weather attack. It could be some sort of technology we don't know about. And you can't really know for sure. You know, we're suspicious, you know, and then the people that want to be rude are going to say, oh, you're being a conspiracy theorist. But it's like you're saying, there's things that defy logic. How, like, some of these fires have moved so fast. People that have been firefighters their whole life say, how the heck could that happen? I've never seen anything like that. You know, or we'll look at these areas that are, everything's burned, but the green trees, which doesn't even make sense, you know? I mean, or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just been a lot of strange things and all these events that have gone on, and now we can't help but being suspicious. And what else do we do but talk about it and bring it to people's attention, right?
One time I saw this image that somebody created. It was a map of the fires in California overlaid with the map of the proposed train line. And that was a very interesting image because it kind of matched up. And somebody else did that for the Australian fires. So I don't know about Lahaina and what happened there, but it's interesting how all of these things are sort of like suspiciously.
Yeah, and like they have some plan to do it. What do they call those? The 25-minute cities or whatever?
Exactly. Somebody was saying that Acapulco is on the list of the 15-minute cities.
Well, that might have been Richard. I'm not remember who it was that said that, but. Or
might
Jeff
have been
Berwick.
Jeff.
One of these guys might have been Jeff.
Because he was on the End Evil. Or no, that's your podcast, End Evil. He was on the Great Grand Theft World on Sunday.
Yeah, the last Grand Theft World. I saw that clip.
He did tell me he might stop by today, but at the same time, he is leaving for Acapulco at midnight, so in just a few hours.
Yeah, sounds like it's been just like chaos management for him and you and everybody you guys know down there. So, you know, I'm like kind of in shock. I mean, in these type of things, it's like, what do you say? You know, there's not... Oh, I'm sorry you guys are going through that. You know, it doesn't really help much, but at least
well, the most
being
important
able to vocalize.
Thing is to tell people what it is, because I mean, if nobody knows, like how come nobody knows? What is that?
Right.
Like, what?
There's never been a time in history where we've had more modes of communication and devices to spread a message, and yet for some reason, these very important messages aren't getting across as well as they should be.
It wasn't 12 hours. They're saying 12 hours, Phoenix, because they're trying to make it look more normal. But it really wasn't 12 hours. When we received the message from Berwick at 6:30, I think, p.m. And by 12:30 a.m., it was a Cat 5. And Berwick's message was, there's a storm that may turn into something big.
Hmm.
Right? So, like, that's not 12 hours. Like, it was it from, like, zero to Cat 5 in 12 hours? Because it didn't go from tropical storm to Cat 5 in 12 hours. Or, sorry, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like the way they're counting it, it's still, I think they're adding hours. But maybe I'm just being emotional.
Yeah. So, well, no, the suspicion would be that it all just happened like insanely fast, as opposed to what we've kind of used to a traditional storm that builds up and you get rain before and after. But this thing just, boom, came through, right?
Yeah, so they were saying at, well, no, he has a house there, right? And he has family there. His wife's family is from Acapulco, right? So if there's any kind of like storm or hurricane or whatever, that would concern him. But at the time Jeff Berwick contacted us at 6:30 p.m., I looked up the weather report things, and they said that they were expecting the storm to land at 5 a.m. in Acapulco, but the storm landed at 12:30. So even the meteorologists before the storm were expecting the storm to not be able to make it that far until 5 a.m.
So it was,
oh, hey, guys.
Hey, I know that guy. That's Patty.
Oh, yes. It is. Hi, Agnieszka. Good to see you again.
My collaborator. Everybody's been so busy with the rescue team that, yeah, nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you again since I saw you last time. Remember me on the stage?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a video of that still.
I use that video too. Actually, it was linked in this talk. That video was linked as one of the first things that he linked.
Oh, this right. Talk. Yeah, your Acapulco talk. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Vadim's been behind the scenes with me working on organizing the trucks and stuff. So maybe he has something to add that I haven't said yet.
Yeah, I've just been organizing truck deliveries, so keeping track of where the drivers are at times, because there's such little connectivity and communication due to outages, that I just like manually tracking everybody, you know, seeing where they are, making sure nobody's like lost. Like one of the guys Agnieszka was talking about, Paul, and we still haven't heard from him, right?
No, we have.
We have heard from people that know him October, actually, like directly from him. Still haven't got a word since October 29 or something, like 3-4 30. Days.
30? Yeah.
Okay, but I have a timeline.
He's staying at the house of the mechanic where he broke down, I think, because this is Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, later I'll ask you about the location of the house of the mechanic, if you have it.
I think that Marta Aguilo person who is on the SOS list, she has that because she took her scooter and she drove out there.
Who, sorry?
Check the chat from earlier. I can find it later.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, Chris, is it?
Yeah, yes. Vadim, is that your
Hi.
Name?
Vadim, yeah, hi, Vadim. Chris, good to meet you. Mucho gusto, as they say in Mexico.
Mucho gusto, gracias. Thanks so much for joining us and, you know, sharing your experience of what's going on down there.
Yeah,
sounds
no
like
problem.
You're being a warrior helping people out and with communications. And what do you normally do? Is this kind of like your normal line of work, or are you just good at this?
not really, kind of. I've been working in related fields before, like dispatching security guards around, but except this time I'm dispatching logistics around, so helping with the logistics and other administrative tasks and assistance or whatever assistance is needed, you know. I'm actually in Mexico. I was looking on my way to Acapulco from a 4 hour away, four or five hour away drive city in Mexico from Acapulco, but I wasn't able to find a way. Like the buses are out. I don't drive. I couldn't find anybody driving from my town down to Acapulco. So I just, while I was looking for a way to go there and not finding it, I just started helping remotely. And I just stuck with that for now. And up until now, since like 2 days ago, I was just nonstop helping out. And TYFYS. I'm not sure. Thank you
for your service.
Maybe. You're welcome anytime. Yeah, glad to help out. Glad to join the chat. Nice to meet you. I saw Crypt Rick posted some comment there. I saw Crypt Rick on other shows. I don't think he saw your show. But glad to see you have one. I should bookmark it.
Yeah, I try to run the show on Thursdays, the mm-hmm. End Evil podcast.
Fantastic. At a specific time?
Yeah, Thursdays is 6 p.m. My time is, how far are you from me? I mean,
7. It was 7 our time.
You guys are 1 hour ahead, so 7
We're
p.m. your
7,
time.
Yeah. Subscribed.
Yeah, a lot of times we do, you know, kind of like live roundtables and talk about morality, trying to understand how to, you know, work towards that better future. We don't have to live in a world of evil, you know, where people are stealing from each other.
Yeah. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Mark Passio podcasts since podcast number one, and on that heavy these days, catching up on morality and lack thereof in a society that fucking needs to raise the fuck up.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mark was one of my major inspirations and kicked my butt, man, and got me out there podcasting.
I would say Mark kicked my ass too.
Yeah,
he's pretty much nailed it down. It seems like the main problem with suffering in the world of people, right?
And you know, Mark sometimes has a bad reputation because some of his newest podcasts are a little bit angry since
lots of rants. That's understandable.
But if you, well, because he's had some personal, like, tragedies experience, you know what I mean? But
and people not listening at large, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, he's really, really passionate about it. But if you go into his older podcast, or if you go into the natural law seminar that I think Richard Grove actually filmed that, the natural law seminar.
Oh, yeah.
That was an excellent, excellent seminar. It's amazing.
Or before. Yeah, I watched that one. But I've been
years ago,
to
I watched
podcast
it like
from like
30 before. Times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm so disappointed in myself that I haven't caught up to him like 10 years ago. But now I am. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that, you know, like when these things, developments happen, like what's going on with you guys right there, in a way, it's some small hope that things of this extreme nature can jar people. Like, what is going on? You know, this isn't normal. You know, like we were saying, I've seen it here, up here in Northern California, after some of the fires we've been through, there's people that are a lot more suspicious. Someone was mentioning in the chat about chemtrails. You know, I'm curious, have you noticed a lot of chemtrail activity down there?
Yeah, no, I heard there ain't any, and I've been looking around. I haven't seen any. I've heard one person say that there are, we're just not seeing them. I'm still keeping my eye out.
Vadim, I have a question.
Sorry, one major reason I came to Mexico is lack of chemtrails, allegedly. So we'll see. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for you, because I saw something in the group chat yesterday, and I don't really know much about it, but I think it's a topic that would be. So what's happening in the poor neighborhoods in Acapulco? What was that thing that he was saying?
Maybe we better not talk about it until like we have concrete proof and details of these crazy ass rumors going around like nonstop, you know? What do you think?
Yeah. I wanted to see what you were gonna say about it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure Jeff will say it in his next video.
Rumor.
Sorry?
Crazy rumors about, you know, like the 15-minute city and the preparation for the 15-minute city by eliminating obstacles, including the population.
Purge style.
So we don't have any proof right now. There's only just theories,
we'll,
and there's a drone going to be going to those neighborhoods to check out, because there are
For what it's worth, let's be prepared for any crazy shit going down, shit hitting fan, purge style, purge movie. So we'll see. It's probably nothing, but we'll see.
Even if we can't,
I got it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just had to. The reason I joined late, I was cooking, and I just got to turn off the stove real quick.
Oh, yeah. One thing we definitely don't want is a fire right now in your house. But I was going to say, you know, some of these times we can't tell the exact details on these disasters, but we do know that there globally is going on an agenda to control the population in various ways. And they're always kind of like looking for ways to tighten the noose. And one thing I see happen after any disaster is like the major electric companies, they want to come bring in, put in a bunch of new of their devices, and they want to other people want to come in and buy up property. And so sometimes the proof's in the pudding. You know, we watch and see what happens after the disaster and who buys what land and what gets rebuilt and what doesn't. And sometimes that's indicative of whether there is a deeper level
who's
of land
behind
or
it.
Not, right?
Who's paying for it?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen after every one of these fires, they're coming in with just cities worth of trucks and new spools of cable and all PG&E's latest equipment that they're rolling out. And I'm sure they're pretty happy to, you know, put all their newest devices on all the telephone poles and such. You know, it's suspicious sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
I do think that it's suspicious that our stepdaughter was able to send us that one text message after the wind stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would think that after the wind stopped, everything was down, right?
Yeah, everything like down. Internet amount, in my town, 4.5 hours away driveway, had no internet the whole day and just returned the...
But she had internet. She had internet, Vadim. That minute after the hurricane, they had internet. Mama, Erwin's mom, also had internet. They both were able to send us one text each.
At what time?
Well, you would have to check Erwin's phone. But I think it was like 1 or 2 in the morning.
The night of the hurricane?
Stopped. Yes, after the wind stopped. So what? Oh. That just... It blends my brain because how could they send those two text messages if everything was down, if all the power lines were down?
Yeah, where did they get service?
And if all the power lines and the lines were not down, why were they down for the next 5 days?
Mm-hmm. Maybe she got some service somewhere, some little spot of Wi-Fi that got left over that maybe later broke. One little antenna was still live somewhere. She got a little bit of service and that went away. That message went out. I don't know. Could be explanations, but yeah, it is weird.
Well, and there are two different neighborhoods because Mama is in near Coloso and Dana is in Bonfield.
Mama Lioness and PV?
Huh?
Mama Lioness, you mean?
No, Mama, Erin's mama is in, she lives in Coloso, which is a neighborhood when you drive up along the mountain where La Cima is up on the top, you go around that mountain and inland, and that's where her neighborhood is.
Oh, okay.
I think.
How has it been going with the delivery drivers in the neighborhood? Has everyone been safe so far that you're communicating with, buddy?
So far, yeah, everybody's been safe going in and out of the city, around the city. Everybody's accounted for, and they're delivering supplies all around Acapulco, all of the neighborhoods of Acapulco, all the colonias, they call them.
That's a really good sign. If
everybody's okay, except like
peaceful.
we still need to hear from Paul. We're like 80% sure he's okay, 75. We'll keep following him.
It was his girlfriend's friend that went to check on him. And his girlfriend texted me that she's sure he's okay. So we can go to 90, I think, with that.
Yeah, like Marta, she went to see him, right?
Yeah, so she went, I think she went on a scooter or something. And she drove out into the, because he broke down just outside Acapulco towards like.
Very helpful. Okay.
Right? And so, but I think from... maybe I can check, but I think it was his axle that was broken, and that's why he had to wait.
It bent due to a high weight of the cargo supplies that they were bringing in. So whatever part bent might have been an axle, whatever the fuck it is.
Where are resources coming from? Like in terms
different
of
towns around
food and water, just within
our bank accounts. They're coming out of our bank accounts. We're sending personal money. I mean, Jeff just got...
No, he's asking where all the food is coming from. All the supplies? No, or you mean funds?
Well, both. I mean...
Funds from around the world, people donating. Food and other supplies from other towns around Acapulco, but like far out, not the closer ones, because closer ones are all sold out by now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was imagining, that mm-hmm. you're going to start running out in
yeah,
that zone.
Yeah, definitely did, like on day 1 and 2. So people started going out to Cuernavaca a lot, which is just like maybe... I don't know how half an hour drive to from Mexico City towards Acapulco. People have been going to Chilpancingo and like a plenty of little cities around there as well. Tepetzclan, there's Coatla or something, and on the west side, people are coming, bringing supplies from Zihuatanejo. Tomorrow, hopefully, they'll be able to make it. And from the east, from Puerto Escondido, which is on the east side of Acapulco. So from other towns, just been buying up whatever's available, whatever's needed on the ground. We're communicating with people on the ground, seeing what's needed constantly, keeping updated shopping list for a wish list of items people need on the ground, like emergency supplies and food and whatever emergency, whatever is personal emergency happening with a family in Acapulco. We need to cater to like individual needs kind of. So getting a whole bunch of different things at different stores and different cities around.
And there's no problem right now with like borders. People are able to get around freely. There's no people being stopped.
No, not all good.
Excellent.
Yeah, there's plenty of rumors around, right, Agnieszka, about people getting trouble getting into Acapulco, but we had none.
So that's another thing we should check in with Herman, with Erwin, because it was his aunt. Like, so first we heard rumors, and then his aunt confirmed the rumors that it happened to some people she knew, but they were coming from like Atoyac towards Acoyuca, that kind of that end, and they said that they had some people, but it could have been like just people hungry.
They had some people what?
Like take the stuff from the truck and stuff.
Okay.
So I don't know, but we would have to check it. But it didn't happen. The thing is, some of our trucks or most of our trucks are protected because we have gringos on board, and they don't want to mess with white people so much. Like even Erwin has a co-pilot who is a white guy, right? So they see that, and they don't want to get in trouble with anybody. They don't know who we're associated with, how connected we are, and with whom. So that. Like, you know, the foreigner in the car is just, it's a little bit extra protection that our guys are having, I think. But I'm not sure. I'm not there. Again, Erwin and his mom and his aunts would give you more detail about that.
And also, like, people around in the community, like where I'm at, and they generally say, like, stay away from Acapulco. Don't, like, go. When I was looking around for a way to go, people say, like, probably better not go. But I was still looking and didn't find anyway. So there's like also on the mainstream media, there's reports of things that like unconfirmed on reforma.mx or something. It's like there's an article about against the sounds like it's against the president or talking shit about him. But I don't know, not much proof in it. So. We need like video proof of stuff before we talk about it. But no point talking about stuff that's just rumored around. So.
Yeah. I mean, from my point of view, from what I'm hearing from you guys, it sounds like pretty peaceful. Everything's going really smooth. I mean, when I think back to the
these
disasters,
rumors, they make us keep our eyes open wider. So they're kind of good.
Right. Yeah. It can't hurt to be on the safe side, especially yes. Going into a situation where people are desperate. But, you know, it just occurs to me like, even here in California and what are supposedly really nice neighborhoods, they get all paranoid after events like that there's going to be looting, that people are going to be stealing from each other and stuff. And that's not really what I'm hearing at all from
what
you guys
have
seen and heard.
Heard
so
such rumors, looting.
That's really positive. You know, I mean, I really do like the idea of a place where people are more freedom oriented. And I think it's something like this that kind of tests like how well people can work together. And it's really awesome that you guys are doing that and showing what true anarchy is. It's like people just jumping in and filling a role. Hey, someone needs to make this phone call. I'm going to do that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and like our like ability to persevere and survive in dire circumstances, like somewhere off grid, for example. If we want to live off grid somewhere, we have to be ready for stuff like for events like where you have nothing. And that's what's happening right now in Acapulco. Nobody has nothing because everything is fucking destroyed. And so, yeah, it's putting no communication is a big fucking hurdle. And so, yeah, it's putting us to a good test and a good learning experience that we have to be prepared for next time this shit happens. We have to have good communication that's not relied on major providers of communication, like internet providers, cell providers. We need to rely on our own equipment and networks and ways to communicate in an encrypted way and everything. Right now, we're relying on technologies provided to us by the globalists. But they're shit too. They're not even that good, and they're working against us, right? So we need to stay away from mainstream tech more.
Absolutely, yeah. So we can kind of use this as a wake up call, and preparation for whatever's coming next. But in the meantime, you guys have a lot to deal with there. So, I want to encourage listeners to, spread this information out there. You can share this episode. You can go to HurricaneOtisRecovery.com and, just talk with people about what's going on. Because
yeah, today I talked to my mom for the first time after I started helping out with everything. I had never had a chance to, call anybody and talk much. But today I did, and I called my mom and told her, what's going on? She's like, what? I had no idea. I told her the day before it happened, what happened. She's like, oh shit. Okay. And then later, a week later, I told her what's been happening as aftermath, and she didn't know. She had no idea. She had to go check. People don't talk about it much, I guess, or don't see much information. Like you said, there's one article per mainstream outlet about it. I saw it I got a notification on my news app on the phone about it the next day, and that's how I found out. I actually found out so late. It was crazy. Like the day of the hurricane, the morning I wake up, there's no internet, there's no cell phone service. I'm like blind what's going on in the world. And I had to stay home because I was waiting for an Amazon package delivery that I had no idea, an expensive one too, that I had no idea was going to be able to get to my possession if I'm not home. So I had to stay home all day, no power, no nothing. No internet and no cell phone. There was power, so I stayed home most day. In the evening, I went out to the town, and I found some working Wi-Fi, and I was able to get find out what's going on, and contact people, tell them that everything's okay. I just have no internet. I really don't know what's going on. And then I left, and then I left the Wi-Fi spot, and I went back home. I still didn't know that there was a hurricane that day. I only found out the next day. When I got my cell phone service in the morning, I look and there's a notification on my Google News. So I got hit, Acapulco got hit by a thing. I'm like, what? I look and chaos.
But that 27 victims thing is absolutely false. There's a lot more than that.
27 what?
They're claiming
that the news was saying it was only 27 victims, but got to be
the first number I saw. Maybe I saw 60 around next number I saw. Right now, I don't know what it is, and who knows what the actual number is. Maybe hundreds people missing.
There were almost a million people in town, and a lot of the fishermen are missing, and you know what I mean. So.
Yeah, the other weird thing to add to your list of other weird things, Agnieszka, is, never mind. Jeff already mentioned it in his video that there was four hurricanes / tropical storms in all 1 month hitting this coast here in Mexico, right? Puerto Vallarta, Acapulco got hit, and
Mazatlan.
Okay, there you go. So it's weird, like a pa-pa-pa-pa-pam, like this. So. I don't know. Maybe it was I don't know if that's how it is usually, because I just got to Mexico in August.
Usually, yeah,
welcome to Mexico.
Thanks.
They threw you a party.
Damn,
usually the storm starts somewhere around Oaxaca and goes up the coast, along the coast, maybe doing some damage to the coastal towns, but it doesn't usually go inland. It stopped 200 kilometers from here, and we're on the other side of the big, huge Tierra Caliente mountains.
You said Morelia reached through the hurricane? So the city, right?
It didn't come to the city. Well, it came to the city in the form of just rain, but it didn't. The actual hurricane force stopped 200 kilometers from here, but we're 7 hours drive from the coast, from Acapulco.
Okay, another weird thing. When we had the Puerto Vallarta hurricane, it was category 4, right? 3 or 4? A week or two before Acapulco hurricane? A few weeks? So when that happened, from me, where I'm at in Mexico, in Zihuatanejo, is during that time in Puerto Vallarta, the hurricane, we had rain for like 4 days straight and sort of flooding in the streets nonstop during Puerto Vallarta's category 3 or 4 hurricane, right? And that one's further away than Acapulco from me. During the Acapulco hurricane, the day was beautiful out here, only 4 hours. So like Puerto Vallarta is 8 hours away from me, let's say, maybe 10, 16. Maybe around, let's say around 12 hours away from me, from Zihua.
And
Acapulco
maybe
is only like 4 or 5. So
yeah,
during
like double, you know.
Yeah, or triple. So during Puerto Vallarta hurricane, which was less powerful than Acapulco's, we had 4 days of flooding here, of rain nonstop. Not too bad, like flooding or anything, like. But during this storm, nada. I had no idea what's going on. I couldn't foresee that there's a hurricane near 4 hours away.
Yeah, that's definitely suspicious.
The other thing that I wanted to tell you guys that's kind of crazy. Chad Schwartz told me this story. So Chad was in Bonfield, and he was sitting in his apartment, which was the bottom floor apartment. There was like a second floor, because most places in Bonfield are like two story or maybe three at the most. So anyway, there was an apartment above, and he was sitting on his bed, like in his room with the doors closed, hoping that the doors will hold, right? And water started coming up. And he said he was sitting on the bed and he was looking at the water, and he was thinking, well, if the water comes up any higher, I'm going to go to the upstairs apartment. And within a few minutes after that thought, the upstairs apartment roof blew off. And he was already in the upstairs apartment. But he said in the end, the water never came up past like ankle deep. So
he was in Bonfield at that time. Chad was in Bonfield during the hurricane, and he was on the second floor of the building and the roof.
No, he was on the bottom floor. He was on the main floor from what he tells me, but there was another apartment above him that people had been gone for, like, they went away
their
for
roof flew off. He was just underneath them,
and
right?
The upstairs roof flew off, yeah, while he was downstairs thinking about going upstairs.
Okay. And then
he
persevered the whole hurricane in that building?
Where are you going to go? Yeah. Yeah, he stayed in the building, and then like 2 or 3 days
later. He's actually a hurricane survivor. He's on our chats. He's one of our drivers too. He's helping out right now. And yeah, that's interesting to know.
That's awesome.
Him and Traveling K are going to go to Acapulco
tomorrow. Together at the time?
Pardon?
Sorry, I had to interrupt. But they were together at the time in Bonfield, also Traveling K?
No, Karen was in Puebla, but he was in Bonfield.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's a crazy world.
Has a story to tell to his grandkids.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be many stories told, you know, in the aftermath of all this. Hopefully we'll hear more. And Agnieszka, I don't know, were you thinking anybody else might show up, or should we start to close up for today? Definitely continue. If there's more to discuss next week, you know, we'll keep going. If there's a story to be told and an update, we can do that. But what do you think?
We can do more than 4 hours advertising for it then.
Today was super last minute for me. I got home, you know, half an hour before the show. But I'm glad we were able to connect and make this happen. I really am. Thanks, Agnieszka, for urging me to do it, because I was coming home feeling like I don't even want to do a show tonight. But this is an important topic. And, you know, there's a small chance that more people will hear about it and pass it to their friends. And, you know, folks, if you're listening, check out HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. Make a small donation, make a big donation, whatever you can. And more importantly, too, just get the word out and share it with more people what's going on.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't run out of donations during this whole operation, because we're spending quite a bit of money on the whole operation with the deliveries and purchasing and logistics and people's time also. So we hope we don't stop. Please keep it coming.
Thank you for your work. And thanks for showing up today and sharing with us what's going on. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Awesome. Agnieszka, you have any last words before we close up tonight? Thanks so much for coming and bringing your cute little
dog. You're welcome. Thank you for listening to us. I think it's important that people know what's happening, and especially if half the world doesn't know, you know what I mean? That's concerning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, also distracted by
donations. The donations is one thing, because every window in Acapulco, nearly every window in Acapulco, is broken. But the knowing that this is happening, that something freaky like this did happen, that this is real, that's something very important. And there's
Absolutely.
A cute puppy now too.
Yeah, look at those eyes. Okay,
he's only
friends.
9 months old. That's why he's so cute.
Oh, goodness. Third your time soon.
You get a good lick for that one. All right, friends. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And like we said, pass it along. And we'll see you next week. It's End Evil Podcast. Have a great night. Good to meet you, Vadim.
Yeah, you too.
Hopefully we'll...
Good luck and goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, hopefully we'll cross paths again.
Apocalypse.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Thanks very much for having us.
All right, friends. Good night. So evil is the destruction of freedom, folks. Thanks for tuning in to End Evil Podcast. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
I'm in a prison. I'm in a mental prison, and a physical one at that, and definitely a spiritual one, whether that's recognized at a conscious level or not.
As I wake from my sleep, this situation got me thinking, game, world at risk, the same, yet non-life is in extinction, evil creeps in your dreams, secret teams throwing me, and the villain in the in-betweens, mind control for the teens, now they got you on your knees, I'm making my way through this open maze, but I'm dazed by mass confusion, all the images that they're using.
There's the rest race to the tip of the top of the pyramid. The pyramid.
Rising up our criminal
pyramid
and falling in, you know, to this low level of spiritual awareness such that these methods can have any effect over us.